Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
If then you have been raised with Christ, that's how Paul starts Colossians chapter 3. And boy, that's a phrase or a sentence that should get your attention.
Yes.
If then you have been raised with Christ, this isn't just about getting a golden ticket to grant you entry into heaven when you die. The gospel is much more than that. It gives us life, new life, resurrection life. When we believe Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus, respond to that good news, we cross over from death to life. We're raised with Christ. Paul in Ephesians says we've actually been seated with him in the heavenlies. Boy, this is something radical. This is revolutionary. This isn't just, like I said, a golden ticket to grant us entry into heaven when we die. This is new life, the invasion of Christ himself into our very hearts and souls. So it says, if then you've been raised with Christ, two things, seek the things that are above and set your mind on things that are above, where Christ is, not on things that are here on earth. And in light of that, he goes on to say, put to death, therefore. So there's a conclusion. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. So when we've been raised with Christ, when we've crossed over from life to death—I mean, from death to life—our bodies haven't been raised yet. That's going to happen in the future. We're going to get new bodies in the exact same way that Jesus got a new body. We're going to get a new body. It's going to be a resurrection body. It's going to be a glorious body. But right now, we're still in the old body. And that old body has sin living in it. So sin is in these members. And so that's what Paul is talking about here. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, or what is in those members of you. What are they? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked. So that was your old life, but you have died in Christ. That old man has been crucified. Therefore, put off the old and put on the new. If you've been raised with Christ, put off the old and put on the new. So within this body, you still have things in your mind that bring memories back of what that old life was like. Those things are still imprinted on that mind of yours. So you can still think some of those same old thoughts that you thought before you knew Christ, before you had been raised with Christ. You can still choose to do some of those same old things. You can submit yourself to the desires of the flesh. Well, that's not in line with this new life that you have in Christ. That's not in line with who you are now in Christ. That's not what this new life is all about at all. So it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And what does that mean? It means to deprive of force, of vigor. It means to count yourself dead to sin and fully alive to Christ. Yes. That's what it means to put off the old and put on the new. Very practical, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And it's completely in keeping with Paul's other recommendations about living life. I mean, in Galatians, he talks about this battle between flesh and spirit. The way to win that battle is not to fight the flesh. It's to do what he says here, to put it off, to focus on the spiritual, to not feed those old desires. And we can feed them. What you watch, what you read, you know, anything in your physical realm can feed the flesh or it can feed the spirit. And here we want to starve the flesh in this context.
Right.
Sure, we have to still eat food. We're not trying to kill ourselves. But these things that cause us pain need to be starved. And the only way to starve them is to keep our eyes on Jesus and let the Spirit feed us.
So it's walk in the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Like we said yesterday, this isn't a call for us to pick up swords and arms and that sort of thing and go out and try to slay the dragons of the old life. This is about picking up this new way of life, learning to walk by faith in Jesus, putting on the full armor. And as we do, we're going to find ourselves saying no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. We're going to find ourselves living out the desires of the Spirit rather than giving in to the desires of the flesh. And so if we're living out the desires of the Spirit, walking in love, walking in truth, extending grace and mercy and forgiveness and all of those things to those around us, in doing that, we will not be gratifying the desires of the flesh. That's just a natural outcome of walking in the Spirit. So when we put on the new, to do that, we have to put off the old. So it's all about concentrating on this new way of life. And so if we see these things knocking on our door, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, we need to realize, hey, there's nothing to be gained in moving down that pathway. Yeah. That was the old way of life. That brought me death. That brought me condemnation. That brought me judgment. That brought all sorts of things. But it didn't bring me peace and joy and contentment. And I don't want to walk down that road. I want to walk down the road of peace, contentment, and joy. And that's this new life that we have in Jesus Christ.
It is.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Richard Pfeiffer. Glad you have joined us on today's broadcast. Our phone lines are pretty full. We have a couple of lines available right now. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Reminder that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We need your help to continue to deliver this good news on the air and to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ and to teach them how to live in this resurrected life, how to live out this new resurrected life that they have in Christ. So join with us, partner with us, make a difference in this world today by delivering the good news of Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel. You can partner with us by going to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Simply click on the donate button or the support link. Follow all the instructions there. And when you do, request your copy of our CD, God's Will for You. This is a wonderful resource that will help you gain new perspective on what God's will really is. Yeah. And you will discover that if you are in Christ, if you have been born again, raised to walk in the newness of life, you are dead center in the middle of God's will. And boy, it's a great resource for encouragement and for hope and to keep you moving down this path of new life in Christ Jesus. So request your copy of God's Will for You as you make a contribution to Basic Gospel this month at basicgospel.net. Well, we're going to go to our phone lines and start in Alberta, Calgary, Canada. Miles, you're on the line.
Good afternoon, fellas. On Good Friday, my mom passed away.
Well, we're sorry to hear that, Miles.
Thank you. And, you know, I've been thinking about her, and I've been thinking about how, you know, on this earth, when it comes to the intersection of love and truth, our mothers and grandmothers are really so often an example of that wisdom. And it makes me think of your tagline, hear it, believe it, live it. And as we go about our will, God's will for us, keeping that in mind, you know, that we want to hear that wisdom and believe it as wisdom and live that wisdom, that love. So I just thought maybe you'd want to, or if you would, continue and expand on that intersection of love and wisdom.
Okay.
Love and truth, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good question because sometimes we put love and truth at opposite ends, and I don't think that's correct. I don't think that's the way to look at it. When God delivers truth to us, he's delivering the truth about who he is. Well, the first thing that we find out about God is that God is love. So what is truth? Well, truth is simply this, that God is love. How has he demonstrated that love for us? Well, he's demonstrated that love for us by sending Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So Jesus Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Well, what does he mean by saying that he's the truth? Well, he's the truth about God. He has come to make known what God the Father is like. And so in Christ, we see the truth. We see the truth that God is love. So those two things go hand in glove. For example, in the book of Colossians, Paul talks about the fact that this gospel of grace is bearing fruit all over the world, and that it's also bearing fruit in you from the moment that you learn the truth of the gospel in its fullness. So we see grace and truth going hand in glove. So we can't separate these two. You know, truth or love, or truth from love, and we can't separate truth from grace. Because truth is going to tell us the truth about love, the truth about grace.
Yes.
And that's what we need to really, really understand. So those things are always intersecting one with another, and they're traveling together. They're traveling together in our lives. They're compelling us in our lives. So we see in the Bible that we are to walk in truth. What does it mean to walk in truth? The fact that God loves us, the fact that our sins have been forgiven, the fact that we've been declared righteous in the sight of God, the fact that we have a new identity, the fact, the truth that Christ lives in us. All of those things are how we walk in truth. Well, as we're walking in truth, we're going to experience love in its fullest measure. So those two go hand in glove, don't they, Miles?
Thank you very much. Wonderful. Amen.
Well, you're so welcome. Thanks for your call, and certainly our condolences to you on the passing of your mother. But you know where she is, don't you?
I do.
Yeah,
Thank you. Well,
that's good news. You keep standing and anchoring yourself to that great hope that you have in the gospel.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Bye now.
Hey, thanks, Miles. Thanks
Bye-bye.
For your call. Well, we have a great question that came to us on Facebook from Brad, who is watching our Basic Gospel Facebook Live broadcast. And he says this in light of our conversation at the beginning of the program. Do you think the thoughts of who we were before Christ will be erased once we are in heaven? Or will we always recall where we came from to appreciate where we are? So are we going to have those old thoughts, once we get these resurrected bodies, or our minds going to be able to think about what it was like for us when we were lost? Or are we going to be so obsessed and consumed with Christ that old mind is just going to completely disappear?
It's all going to disappear. I mean, Revelation tells us that God is going to wipe away every tear. Well, you can't wipe away tears unless you've changed the thinking. And the whole glorification, our new bodies, all of sin is going to be gone. So there's not going to be anything to remember.
Yes.
And we will be so overwhelmed with the presence of God among us that we won't need that old reminder.
Yeah.
It's just not necessary.
Yeah. Well, in 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the resurrected body, what type of body that will be. And he uses terms like immortal, imperishable. So our minds right now, they're in the process of being renewed. So, you know, new grooves are being formed in these brains of ours, these minds of ours, so that we can begin to think the thoughts of God. And as we begin to think the thoughts of God, then we can live out that truth, that reality in our day-to-day experience.
Yes.
So that's a process that we're going through now. Some, you know, there's places in the Bible that calls that growing in grace. There's the renewing of the mind, growing in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. All of that is impacting these minds of ours. But when we get these resurrected bodies, they will be totally conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. So we can count on that. Well, Brad, thank you so much for posting that question on Facebook. We greatly appreciate it. If others of you out there are watching us via Facebook Live or YouTube Live, there's opportunity for you to post a question as well. And as you see, we will read those questions and answer on the broadcast. Again, you're listening to Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Richard Pfeiffer. We're going to go out to Livermore, California and talk to our good friend William. Hi, William.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing excellent, thank you. I have two questions. The first, is it your understanding that the Word of God refers to death as darkness?
Well, that's where we were, darkness. We were in darkness, and we were snatched out of that and brought into the light. We see in John 1 where Jesus is the light of the world, and in him is life. So there is definitely a connection between light and life, darkness and death, in the Word of God. I think when somebody is thrown out into the outer darkness, that is a sign of eternal death happening at the last judgment. So, yeah, darkness is anything outside of God, so to speak. It's the absence of light. It's the absence of life. It's not the place to be, is it?
No, you actually just answered my second question, which was, is the outer darkness the second death?
Yeah, I would equate the two.
Yeah, I think that's a safe assumption. The issue with death, of course, is that death has always been seen in the Bible as an interloper, something that never belonged, something that is not God's plan. And so when we're living in darkness, it means we're living in spiritual death, and physical death is sure to follow. That's why in the New Testament, Paul especially uses the words fallen asleep quite often to talk about saints who have died. Yes, we've died physically, but we have not died and gone to the outer darkness, the utter darkness, eternally separated from God. So there is a big contrast there because, you know, we really don't die. We fall asleep physically. Our spirits return to God and then are reunited with a resurrected body, so that it's not the same kind of thing as the darkness and outer darkness that the Bible talks about.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it really is good news that Jesus said, whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Yeah. Yeah, William, and that has practical applications for us here too, doesn't it? I mean, if you're in Christ, you're in the light. And if you're in Christ and in the light, you can never be in darkness ever again. You may do some of the deeds of darkness that you once did, but now you're doing it in the light. And so as you do those things in the light shines pretty brightly on them, and you get to see them for what they really are.
Yeah.
And boy, it's yucky. And I think that's a part of how the grace of God teaches us to say no to those things and yes to Jesus Christ. So once we're in the light, that is a forever transaction. That is our permanent place. We will never be outside of the light ever again. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a great point. I use the example from a movie called Overboard. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there's a line in there where the woman says, well, it bothers me now. And that's the same way it is with the sin, that it didn't bother me before, but it bothers me now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Why? Because we see it for what it is. You know, before coming to Christ, we just judged sin by the law. Mm-hmm. So we violated the law, so now we are going to be punished because of that violation. We stand guilty. We deserve to be punished. So it's all about us. It's all about me. But I think once we're in the light, and once that light shines on what sin really is, then we realize that it's not about me. My actions are affecting someone else. And we get to see the pain and the sorrow and the hurt that those actions can cause. And then we say, wow, that is utterly sinful. It's doing damage. It's causing harm, not only to me, but the people that I love. And I don't want to be a part of it. And that's how the grace of God teaches us to say no and to get our eyes on others and saying, Lord, I want your love to flow through me into the lives of those people that are important and dear to me.
Yeah, this is why the gospel is so absolutely vital to our life in Christ, because if we know that we are forgiven people and we know that we are eternally secure, now there can be learning. Prior to that moment, there was only hiding. There was not learning. There was always hiding from punishment. Now, because we are secure and we know there's no condemnation, we can have the conversation with God, because he's going to have that conversation with us. And being in the light isn't always comfortable,
right?
But it's always far better than the alternative.
Yeah, it's God's grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness.
That's exactly right, William. Well,
excellent.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for your call today.
Yeah,
we
you.
Sure appreciate it. We're going to go to O'Fallon and talk to our good friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Well, you guys almost talked about what I was calling in about, but during your dialogue, I thought it was in Colossians, but there's a specific verse that actually tells us that God will instruct us, teach us how to say no to sin. And for what it's worth, I mean, we're talking about God's will this month, and you talked about resurrection. You talked about being in Christ. We know that's God's will for us. And also, you've just spent quite a bit of time talking about that God will teach us how to say no to sin, and that is also God's will for us. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Brad. We certainly appreciate it. There's this verse, Titus 2:11, the grace of God has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to say no to unrighteousness, ungodliness, and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation while we wait for the blessed appearing of Christ Jesus, our hope. So there's a teaching aspect, and many of us quote that, and many people, many believers out there know that verse, but the how of it, we seem to just gloss over, or we seem to never really pay attention. How does the grace of God teach us? What are some of its teaching methods? What are some of its teaching tools to bring us to that point where we really are saying no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ? And I think the fact that we're in the light, just that in and of itself is going to be a teaching tool. Now we get to see. When we were in the darkness, we were limited as far as sin was concerned simply by what the law laid out.
Yes.
So that was just a small flicker of light on what the truth is. But now that we're in the light and the light is in us, and when I say that, I'm not talking about some Gnostic mystical thing.
No.
I'm talking about Jesus Christ himself. He is alive, living in us through the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to see what sin is, what it really is. And as Paul wrote in Romans 7, it will become utterly sinful to us.
Yes.
We will get to see the great ravage that sin has in people's lives and our lives. And that's what we've been set free from. And that's why love is so vitally important, that we, through the power of the resurrection, get to express the love of God. And boy, that's revolutionary. That is radical. That is different. You want to know how to be different in this world? You want to know how to be a standout person? It's called the holy life, but that holy life is a life of love. That's different. That's radical. You're not going to find it out there in the world.
No.
It only comes through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for joining us on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Richard, as always, thanks for your keen insights, all that you bring to the table. Our listeners love hearing from you, love hearing your story, love hearing what you know about the Word of God. So thank you for being here. Thanks to Greg, Coleman, Steve, Michelle, Billy, Kim, Vivian, our entire Basic Gospel yes. team. We're so grateful for that group. And thank you to all the listeners who stand with us and support this broadcast and make Basic Gospel available each and every day.
Yes.
If you would like more information about Basic Gospel, visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net.